Okay, where are we going to start from? We'll start from... sorry. I'll show you a Russian here. Okay, so Moshe is having this negotiation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Hashem gives him the signs to impress or to convince the Jewish people. And part of the signs are not just to convince the Jewish people, but to punish Moshe, because Moshe's had a slight slip-up where he accuses the Jewish people of being skeptics. And because of that, the stick turns into a nachash to remind him about the Lashon Hara of the nachash in Gan Eden, and his hand turns into tzaras, because he gets stricken with many tzaras because of his Lashon Hara. So, when he gets stricken with tzaras, Hashem says, Hashem yevchal chaykecha, put your hand back into your clothing, v'yashiv yado el chayko, puts it back into his clothing, he takes it out, it's immediately healed. Now, in this pasuk, the word cheko appears three times. Hashem tells him, put it into your clothing, puts this in his clothing, and takes it out from his clothing. In the pasuk, which describes the event of tzaras, the word clothing only appears twice. Put your hand in your clothing, put his hand in his clothing. So namely, in the pasuk, when he gets stricken with tzaras, Hashem tells him, put your hand in your clothing, and he puts his hand in his clothing. The tzaras gets removed, Hashem tells Moshe, put your hand in your clothing, take it back out, and when the Torah reports the event, by the way, when he takes it out from his clothing, it's already healed. So there's an extra word, clothing. And Rashi senses that this shows that Midah Tova is much more rapid than Midah Sporadis, that Hashem accelerates reward, Hashem accelerates prosperity more than he accelerates punishment. So this mini punishment of Moshe, it waited until he put into his clothing. But the removal of tzaras happened even before it took it out of his clothing. And the natural order of things would be that the clothing is where the tzaras either happens or it disappears. And in this case, the tzaras disappeared more quickly than it. This feels very like a joke. Like who cares how quickly the tzaras is removed? It's a nanosecond, and you're writing clothing, and this is a big deal, whether the tzaras is removed half a second earlier when Moshe's hand is still in his clothing during the second round, or Moshe's hand is outside of the clothing in the second round. Why is this so important? And obviously, he may perform this for the Jewish people. Maybe they'll see this. The answer is crucial, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to break the backs of the Egyptians. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to display his intervention in nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to punish the Egyptians, break their will. There's going to be a lot of punishment and suffering and hardship and ugliness over the next month, the next year. And Hashem is also introducing himself to human imagination that didn't understand it for 2,000 years. And it's very likely that during the course of this year, human beings are going to think Hashem is angry and Hashem is full of ire and Hashem is retributional and Hashem is vengeful and he likes bringing barad and he likes destroying cattle and he likes blood and like Mahabdil, Islamic fundamentalists want us to believe that there's joy in heaven when people suffer. So this is an important adjustment. There are many slight, subtle adjustments throughout Parshas Vayera and Bo, which Hashem is saying, I don't really want people to suffer. And even if the suffering is necessary, in this case, not real long suffering, but even something as slight and trivial as Moshe's minute of tzaras, it is alleviated sooner than it is imposed. It's imposed only when he puts his hand into his clothing. It's alleviated not when he takes it out, but while it's still in the clothing. So the clothing is not out tzaras zone. It's not as if you put your hand into the clothing in tzaras, and then you can only remove the tzaras by pulling it out of your clothing. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the tzaras to disappear as quickly as possible, even that 1 second adjustment before he takes it out from his clothing. It's an interesting adjustment. Now, why will they trust the tzaras? Why is this tzaras so compelling? The nachash is interesting, it's a staff, it's frightening, the blood is obviously iconic as the Nile. Why is the tzaras, if they're not going to listen to the first, they'll listen to the second? What makes the second, the Osa Acharon, so compelling? So Rashi says, it's not as if this was such a miracle that was so overwhelming and so impressive. It's they said, oh, tzaras. Moshe has tzaras. And they'll connect the dots. Maybe Moshe will tell them, I have tzaras because I said something negative about you, even though it's only really slight. I doubted your ability. So I have tzaras. Anybody I'll mean will be. They'll tell themselves, wait a second. There was earlier tzaras in Israel. Who got tzaras? Paro. And Parshas Lech Lecha, when he tried to assault Sarah. And they're going to connect the dots. Now, what does connecting the dots mean? First of all, they'll feel protected, because there's a precedent, there's a precedential story that they can go back to and say, oh, the tzaras is not just here for signs and symbols, but Hashem, this is Hashem's tool to protect us. A protected our great-grandmother against assault, and now protected us against Moshe's skepticism, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us with Tzaras, he's got a few more tricks up his sleeves. So it creates a sense of protection. And indeed, if you look at Shchin is a quasi-Tzaras. And there's a lot of Shchin that reminds us that Hashem is protecting us. Shchin is not just an attack against the Egyptians. Shchin is reminding us that Hashem is here to protect us as he did hundreds of years ago. But even more than the sense of protection, it creates a sense of legacy in history. People that are born into slavery forget the fact that they have a past because they've been born into multi-generations of slaves. They don't know anything different. And you scrub people's identity. And you forget that you have an ancestry. Part of, let's say, African-American awareness is part of the recovery, the cultural lobotomy, the cultural scrubbing of slavery is, no, we had a past and it's not slaves. You know, for the past 6-7 generations, grandparents were slaves. We have a past. We come from Africa. We have a proud culture. We have. So the Jews didn't really have that because 210 years of slavery. They didn't know anything else. So part of the makos is to reestablish identity, legacy, national pride. We're going through that now. We're trying to recover certain aspects of our past that are very resonant for people, to help them feel proud as Jews and feel proud of Israelis. So connecting them, associating a makkah, associating in this case a sign, with their past, that, oh, we do come from Afar and Sarah. We heard these bedtime stories about Egyptian king who wanted to rape our great-great-grandmother. And Hashem interceded with Saras. Now the story has returned and we're part of that story. And all of a sudden, history has more resonance to it. So there's something about the Tzaras that's going to be a lot more resonant than the snake or even the water turning into blood. Okay, so the first Rashi speaks about the rapidity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's removing suffering as opposed to the slight delay in imposing suffering. Second Rashi speaks about the Tzaras. Now, two more Rashi about Tzaras. Well, let's speak about one Rashi. Rashi spoke about the other day. Moshe says, I'm kavad peh, I can't handle this, I don't know how to speak. So Hashem says, mi sampel li adam, mi asum ilein, I control speech, I control hearing, I control listening, and therefore, anochei yam picha. The simple way to read it is that I control speech. Since I control speech, mi sampel li adam, so therefore I will control your speech, I'll put my words into your mouth. You have nothing to worry about, just sit back and enjoy the ride. Just sit back and open your mouth and up at the words, and you don't have to worry about it. I got this, right? You just be the donkey rider, and I'll let you do the speaking. I'll do the speaking because me sent all the other. I'm in charge of this. I'm going to give you words. Rashi switches it. And in this switch, I think he switches the whole tone of the conversation. When Hashem says, me sampel li adam, it's who taught you how to defend yourself when you were being indicted by Paro for killing that Mitzri? Me limedcha ledaber kishayisa nidam lefnei Paro al Mitzri. Namely, I helped you then. I gave you ideas. I gave you concepts, and you defended yourself very well. And then, me yasum ilein. It's not that I control hearing, but I made Paro a little bit deaf to all the reports that came in. When all the police reports came in about your whereabouts, he ignored them. He's too busy eating Twinkies or something, you know. Don't worry. I was there for you in the past when there was speech and listening. How's that going to help us? Okay, so you were there for me. A couple of years ago, it's not clear how much time passed between the initial stages of Moshe's career and this restart of his career. Some people say 70 years, but not 70, but many years. But why is this helping Moshe remain? It's not what I wanted, Hashem. I wanted you to say, I'm in control of speech, and I'll give you speech. Not, I'm in control of speech, and just remember, I helped you, and I helped you speak a little bit better. So Rashi changes the tone of the conversation. Hashem is not telling Moshe, don't worry, I'll do the speaking for you. Hashem is telling Moshe, you have to do the speaking, and you have to overcome your handicap. Now, don't worry, I'll help you with that, and I helped you in the past, but it's not as if when Moshe spoke to Paro, Hashem put words in Moshe's mouth. That was before this step. But at Paro, Moshe had to speak, and had to stand up and speak on his own. Now, Hashem is telling, by the way, in the background, I was helping you out, and I was making Paro busy and preoccupied, and he didn't listen, and I'll assist you as well, but I'll give you assistance. But you still have to work for it, and you still have to be an author in this redemption, and you also have to overcome your liability. I'm not your impairment. I'm not going to take away your impediment, and I'm not going to just put words in your mouth. Those two options are not on the board. Option A, can I heal you? No. Option B, can I put words in your mouth? No. Option C is, you speak and I'll help you. It's a partnership, and you have to overcome your impairment and have a little bit of courage, but don't all be there. It's a whole different conversation than the one we think is taking place. We think it's, well, I'm in control of speech. Just open your mouth and it will come out. This conversation going to Rashi is, no, no, no. in your previous conversations, you were successful. You're successful because I was controlling Pyro. And in this point, I'll also help you be successful. But if you don't go and speak, and you just open your mouth with that word, nothing's going to come out. I'm not putting words in your mouth. You're going to speak to Pyro, and I'll help you. So three interesting Rashis. One Rashi about the timing of punishment and the timing of suffering, as opposed to the timing of reward or prosperity and health. Number two is that Am Yisrael would see in Tzaras a reminder, a recall of past history and past national legacy and protection. Number three is Hashem is not telling Moshe, I'll do the talking. Hashem is telling Moshe, you'll do the talking with your impairment, and I'll help you, but you still have responsibility squarely on your shoulders. Okay? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Can I ask Yossi, and you're here for Shabbos? So my family is eating, whoever's around for Shabbos, Thursday night. Thursday night.